Okay, here we go. It was kind of a jerky summer again. A lot of things going on, a lot of places that we met. I think we'll keep a sign up over there at the Elks Lodge for a couple of weeks yet, telling people. The way the sign reads is, Lifehouse Church now meets at 806 River Street. Doesn't say they were there this week. It says, that's where we meet, 806 River Street. Yeah. Well, we are encouraging you today to share with us what's been brewing in you over these weeks. Our series was called The Way We Were, and we just recalled so many things that were right about the beginnings of this group of churches, this network of churches, and especially for some of us back there in Ames, what was it, 59, 52 churches now, 59, something like that, churches planted from Ames and thereafter, and so this is part of that. And so we wanted to share with you some of the things that were on our hearts back then. We're obviously a lot younger and more idealistic. There's some really good things about being idealistic. And by the grace of God, he did a lot of the things that we were hoping in him for. So we've shared a lot of those things with you. We shared with you, for example, GO was on our hearts. The global mission was on our hearts. A passion for the Word of God was on our hearts. A passion for relationships was on our hearts a lot and in our experience. I shared one on a passion for obedience, which is just a little bit different than a passion for the Word. And since this is a common thread, really, I just finished 1 Timothy again, and I may have to go back over it again. It's a very, 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 very rich little letter where Paul is just making sure that Timothy remains true to the faith. And there are sidetracking things in that letter, and Paul's urging to Timothy is to stay connected to a life of faith. And one of the factors of being of living a life of faith is thinking in terms of obedience. And since this is all throughout the scriptures, I happened to be reading in Psalm 119, and I came across this the other day, and I thought, hey, that reminds me, we have open mic. And let's see, there are quite a few actually in Psalm 119, but the one I had picked, I forgot where to go. Somebody moved it. I'll just pick one. I thought I had one perfect. I thought it was verse 4. Yeah, that's it. It's verse 4. It is verse 4. It says, you have ordained your precepts that we should keep them. Like Luke was saying, Jesus didn't come down to look at the trees. He came down, 1 Timothy 1:15 says, for this purpose, to die for sinners. That's why he came. Well, in a similar vein, the Word of God was written for one purpose, that we might obey it. And it reminded me of that message of we were passionate about obedience, still are passionate about it. It's the only way to know the Lord in real practice, and that's what he brought us to himself for, that we might know him. And it just reminded me of a time, long time ago, when Paul, our youngest, was still in the high chair. And the whole family was gathered around the table, and I think Patty was pouring milk for everybody, and Paul's sitting there, probably one, and he says, hey, where's my milk? And Paul was right beside me. I said, I would like a drink, please. Or I think I said, I would like some milk, please, and until he would repeat that. And this was training, and I think that that's the way God is with us. He knows that his ordinances are good for us. And we talk to Paul and Sarah every Sunday, and I see the same thing going on between Paul and Sarah and the boys, training them of an attitude that will be a blessing. And so we were passionate about obedience, but it was to our blessing. It wasn't that we felt God was a taskmaster, oh boy, we better obey or else. we saw the value that he wanted to give our lives, and I wanted to share that with you.
How am I supposed to speak like that? Okay, I'll just stand like this either. I'll get situated here. This has been a tough year for me. The passage I really thought of is when Luke was speaking about his trial of life. That's what I kind of went through. You know, it's like, okay, nobody wants me around. Nobody cares about me. But sometimes I feel like, wow, there are friends out there. There are people that care about me and love me. If I don't do something, they're either calling me or checking on me or stopping by my house and saying, hey, are you okay? We miss you. And just like this time of need, I knew I couldn't pay the rent. I'm like, God, I'm having trouble. Now that I lost my job at Maves because of COVID. Like, what am I going to do? I'm getting together with the Moses, and I'm thinking to myself, do the boys want to stay all night? Okay. Got a little longer. I got a little longer. Thelma started getting happier. Thelma started getting doing stuff with me. We started playing games. And it's just like, you know something? This is going to be a good family. Just like the staff said when Lance left, don't leave your church. Because you got a good family that supports you and that loves you. And then all over to Tim Boy says, come on up here. Well, you got two legs. This guy is so fun that he is the best person to play games with, along with the Moses. And the small streets, because we love playing games with them. Just like this guy here in the NBA Jam and bowling. Amen.
God bless you, bro. You're fun to play with, too.
When Tim was coming to call Tim, save him and join Bob, and when Tim went to college, he met two other students, and then he went to school to save him too. And this is the example of the one sermon I learned. I learned from one Tim Chapel. Faith, trust, Justin. Put his faith into God. Pay the price. Repent, change of minds. These things won his only son. Love Jesus. Confess, accept. God, heaven, God, holy, perfect, perfect, then you will be saved. Very thankful. Amen. I need.
So as I've been just kind of thinking over kind of the series on like just a whole of what it is, what really strikes me is just that so much of what was going on there at Iowa State that led to everything, you know, churches being planted and people getting saved, and so many things going on. What I see is just like sincerity, right? Like, Christianity isn't meant to be a religion, it's a relationship. And if that relationship is alive, then like you were saying, Dad, then we obey God not because he's a taskmaster and he'll smite us if we don't, but we obey him because he's a good father and he's somebody that we want to see successful. We want to be a part of what he's doing. We want to experience his favor. Those kind of things. So I've just been honestly comparing and contrasting. This has been an idea that I've had in my head for a while. I just think that all traditions have a lifespan, and they start out as a really good thing, right? When someone makes a tradition, they say, hey, we want to remember this. We always want to remember this and pay attention to it. We never want to forget this. So we're going to do X, Y, Z in order to remember how important this is. That's a really good idea. That's a great thing. But over the course of time, people just remember X, Y, Z. Like, and they kind of forget. Have you ever, like, you know, I mean, think about Christmas. You know, like, hey, why do we do this? I don't know. We've just always done it that way. Stop asking questions. You know what I mean? At that point, tradition is dead, right? If a kid asks his dad, why do we do this? And the dad's like, just stop asking questions. That's the way we do things. The kid did exactly what the tradition wants you to do, asks the question, why, right? And tradition is supposed to make you remember. But it just tends to happen that we just sort of, this is what we do, and we stop thinking about why. And so I think that wherever you see religion turning into a tradition, sooner or later, it's going to die. And everybody who's there, kind of the younger generation, is going to be like, well, it's dead here, so what am I doing here? You know, you can feel that. But what was amazing about what was going on at Iowa State was that that was something that was totally new, and it was alive, and it was real to everybody that was there that was a part of it, and that was the entire culture. It wasn't just a couple of people that had it alive and well, but it was everybody all together, like, what can we do? What can we do? Like, how can we love God? And that's what strikes me, is I kind of think about, well, like, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for my life? How do I use it? I think that's more so where I come back to. Well, what's real? What's my relationship with God like? What do I want to do for God? How do I want God to be real and applicable and relevant in my life? How can I live that out? And I feel like that's where it's at. That's where the meaning of anything that we do is going to really come home, is just in that sincerity of wanting to love God back, rather than saying, here's my checklist. We're going to move up to Decorah. We're going to have our own building in 3 weeks. You know, we're going to check everything off the list. It's not the checklist. That's not going to be our faith. Our faith is just the pursuit and the desire to know him. So.
I am new to this area, and I'm new to the church, but for me, I want to thank Bob for doing the cross for me. That cross has meant a lot to me. It has shown my faith. It has shown who I want to be. I've been lost majority of my life. Trying to be a mom. And coming to this church and having Tim and his wife and his family and Bob's wife opening their arms to me and my daughter, and showing me a life that I can really have means a lot. Coming from a dysfunctional home life and not knowing what church is or not knowing what faith is. I've struggled all my life, and by helping out you guys and by participating in different things, God has really helped me, and I hope right now, with the struggle I'm going through right now, I'm really begging for God's help. I got down this morning and did a prayer, which I usually never do. But I just want to thank God and for you guys for opening your guys' arms. Because when you're down and out and you're struggling, you have no idea what it's like or where your faith is or what you're doing in life. And for me right now, I'm down on my knees asking for you guys' help and asking for God's help. And so for me today, coming here, and especially the songs, thank you. Because one of the songs one of the songs this morning really hit home. It really did. And I just thank you guys for everything you guys have done. Because now I can start healing and I can start opening up again. And with God's help, I can heal this broken heart.
This is a first for me. I usually don't do this. But I just... This series made me think about the church I grew up in and how I grew up. And I grew up in church, but I wouldn't call myself a Christian when I was growing up. I went to church every Sunday and we did stuff... I went to a UCC church, so we did a lot of stuff the Lutheran way. And my grandfather, who was hardcore Baptist, never approved. And he always said, you'll ask God in your heart when you're ready. And he's just, you'll have that feeling, just don't rush it. And I never honestly thought I would ever have that feeling. But then we started coming here. And we moved here 7 years ago this week. We moved to Iowa from Chicago. And we started coming here. And Kristen and Sarah Bauer both shared the cross diagram with me. And it was the best day of my life. Besides having my kids, of course. And getting married. But, I mean, and I remember it December 14th, 2000. And 14, because it'll be 6 years this year, and it was just amazing, and I thank them every day for sharing it, and I thank my church family, because without you guys, I don't know where we would be. Living with Jay has been awesome. A little scary at first, because I didn't know what to expect when you move in with someone, and we've only lived with our family and stuff, and Jay's family, but and it's just, everything's been going great. I got a job at Mabes. The boys are doing good. Joe's getting better slowly. And I just want to thank everyone. And I love you guys.
So going with this a little cold turkey here, but let's go with it. Just hearing the story on how this church came to be was from the beginning, it's kind of had me going flashback a lot to my first beginnings and hearing the way this church started in Iowa State as a young, or as the pastors were young believers, and hearing their passion about God and how, like, just on fire they were at the time and how the movement was really huge, actually gave me a little more hope than I had in previous times, as well as, like, just reminiscing to back when I was starting at here, going on a random walk, seeing two of my friends playing a video game, and going in and seeing the kids. And then I just remember seeing Tim had a bald head. I was like, huh, game store that was bald. That's cool. First thing I recognized. But, like, then it was coming there every day, playing Evil Zone on the TV or something, bringing my games over, helping them out when they needed it. It was good. And then they had people here for summer discipleship trainings and started going with them and just hanging out. And it's just been, like, over the last 8 or 9 years now, maybe 10. It's just when Jonathan Osterman shared the gospel with me, I think that's been like 10 years ago now or something. It's been crazy. But yeah, it's been like just hearing the cross diagram and hearing that Jesus died for me, and finally understanding what that meant was like, took a huge burden off my shoulders. And ever since then, like, slowly but surely, I've been changing little by little. Some changes were quite drastic. Others have been coming over time. And 2020 has been like, it's been a really weird year for everybody, but it's also shown, like, I'm changing more every day. And this past year, what I've noticed is, like, with all this tension and, like, COVID and BLM and everything else, like, Tim and I have had some, not necessarily disagreeing, but differing opinions, and it's helped me to learn. And what I've learned from it is, like, it's not, like, if you have a differing opinion with someone, it's not about winning the argument, per se. It's about, just having that conversation. It's about, like, winning their hearts, and it's about just building a friendship or building that conversation, conversations that need to be had. So it's just like, if you're going out and sharing the gospel, it's not a, like, yes, the ultimate goal is to bring them to Christ, but you got to start somewhere. And that's one thing I've always been nervous about. Like, I've always been nervous, like, if I share the gospel and they don't take it, or I share it poorly, that I failed. And that is not the case. Like, if you share the gospel at all or have conversations at all, then you're not failing. And it's been quite a, this whole message just brought it all together, kind of a thing. And, like, it's just got to build friendship, have conversation, and eventually share the gospel. That is our goal. That is our mission. And, like, just saving the world for Jesus, right? So, like, it's been really nice hearing how this church grew up, and, like, from its beginnings, and knowing that if I have a different viewpoint on some things, we can still respect each other and have very great conversations about it, and that we will all listen to each other. So it's been great. God bless.
All right. First shout out to Josh and Isaac. I love you two guys. I'm so glad that I got to go watch a movie with you guys. We can. The movie kind of sucked, but we can be smiling men together. They're just two guys that I always want to hang out with, but I never really do get to hang out with. So super appreciated that time. That was fun. So yeah, the way that we were. That's been this series. It's been a fantastic series of getting to know our history. For those who think that history sucks, we learn a lot from it so that we don't make the same mistakes, if there are mistakes, and that we can do the good things that have been done in history the same today. No, it's a very crucial part of understanding and knowledge, wisdom. So, to get on to my point here, I've been doing this iRacing, a lot of fun. It's a driving simulator on a PC. I've been doing this casting, this little casting dealio. So before every race, I'll try to get everybody hyped up by doing this iRacing top five starting grid and having so much fun with it. And all the time, I get comments of like, man, that was really good. That was great. That was a lot of fun. So I convinced this streamer. This guy, Jesse Enterkin, lives down in Alabama. He streams his races. He's actually a real late model driver, to let me announce one of his races. And it was, I went back and watched the stream, and this guy was like freaking out. He thought it was absolutely amazing. He said it was, that's like one of the best announcers he's ever heard. It was really like yeah, I'm good at something. That's a first. and what I love about that is that my initial goal, I didn't start with the streamer. My initial goal in the official, just normal iRacing races, you know, they happen every 15 minutes, every half hour, whatever class of car you're wanting to drive, you know, they every hour or whatnot, they have an official race, and just getting in to hop in there with random people. My goal was to help these guys or gals who are driving with me. I want them to have a fun time. And you'll often get where people will just, they'll get into one wreck and then the entire lobby is just angry at everybody. You know, all 20 of these drivers are just so frustrated with this one person or these three people that caused the wreck or whatnot. And when you get to start it out with something fun like that, and I remember Bob will consistently during a inspection say the client's name, you know, to get their attention or to keep their attention. Ask them why he did that. It's because people like hearing their name. When you're in the top five and you get to hear your name announced to the rest of the 20 guys in the lobby, you know, it's like, heck yeah, I feel good about this. I'm good at something. and that's how it started out. And then to get recognized for that, I think is really fun. I'm thinking about that this morning. You know, these guys and gals who started out just a group of people saying, hey, I think this is a good idea. It sounds like a lot of fun. And we get to go encourage people and help them out. And I mean, I think we all are all in agreement that Bob and Tim are pretty cool people. They're pretty awesome. We could praise them all day, I think. But Tim, you don't want to come up here? Come on, good girl, come on up. No, yeah, you can't skip leg day, Tim. Can't skip leg day. But yeah, I was thinking about that. Just these guys had the mindset of, we want to do good here. We want to do good things. This is our culture. This is our culture. This is what we are looking to accomplish, to encourage people and to bring people to an understanding of what Christ has done for us. And having numerous people respond, which is fantastic. Thank you so much. My life would be terrible without without you guys stepping into it. Oh my goodness. So super appreciate that. And that's the culture that we're attempting to build now. In a time, politically, physically, emotionally, we're all just distraught. America is just in a terrible spot. Absolutely horrible spot. I think it's time for us to really lay it home that we need to change our culture to the way that we were. Wanting to be encouraged, being able to step up and take care of an issue that's a problem, whatever that issue might be. I've told employers before, they ask for specifics on whatnot, what's your good working environment for you, and I'll tell them straight up, I'm a taskmaster. You give me a task, you tell me exactly how to do it, you give me a list, and I'll do it. I'll get it done. I am not very good at seeing a problem and taking care of it. Very bad at seeing the problem. As long as I know how to take care of the problem, get it done. As long as it's on my list. That's, at least from what I've seen, that's not exactly how God works. Like, hey, there's that person over there. You don't really have to go talk to him, but I'd really like you to go talk to him. Will you go talk to him? Oh, you're not going to go talk to him? Here's about 25 other opportunities to go talk to that same person. Go talk to him. Yeah. Let's get our hearts in the right spot to change the culture in Decorah. And we'll start here in Lifehouse. Love each other. Love each other. I've been listening to this song. I sent it to Luke, and I shared it with Bob. Been listening to this song that it's called Love Move First. This guy shares that there's no way that he could cross the distance to get to God. And then he exclaims that Jesus became that extension that he needed to get to God. You know, just as a cross diagram where the cross becomes the bridge from man to God. He's sharing that. Love moved first. God was the one that moved first into that man's life. And then he was able to respond. Here, we can do the same thing where, you know, I can make the tough decision to put my games down for a night to go do something that I don't particularly want to do, but would be a good idea. And it would be encouraging to other people, and it would show that there's maturity in Lifehouse. It would show that, you know, these people got it together. These people got it together. James is an awesome guy. I see you there. See you. What's up? What's up? That man is so intelligent. And he just sees something like you're taking care of the, or you're watching over finances of Lifehouse now. And you see something like, we can make this easier. You want to make this easier? This could be easier here. And he just gets it done. Fantastic. That's what I'm talking about. We can just love on each other. Change the culture here of Lifehouse to love one another, be the first to act, and change Decorah, because Decorah needs changing. Decorah needs some change. I think we can all agree on that one. So, thank you guys.
Well, my thoughts are kind of piggybacking on Ants there. Listening the way they were. Boy, I'm lacking. I'm slacking. I hope I'm not the only one that feels that way. Mr. McCotter, he started a good thing. It was carried on by lots of good people, great people. I don't know if I see that, at least in my kids. Do they look like they're willing to carry the torch and move on? Carry the gospel to where it needs to go? Or are they too busy playing with pillows in the back? Is that their fault or mine? No, that's my fault. I'm not doing it right. You know? That's what this series showed me. I'm slacking. I'm lacking. The way they were is the way I want to be. How many opportunities have I missed to share the gospel with somebody because I'm shy? I didn't have the time that day. I wasn't paying attention to that person who walked past me. Or that person, I don't know, they looked like they may have been too busy to listen to me. I don't know, though. Well, if I keep that up, yeah, Decorah's going to stay exactly the way it is. Those are my thoughts. I need to get better. That way my kids will get better. That way Decorah can get better. But it'll only start if I start it in my house. My thoughts.
Probably the best thing that's happened to me is moving to Decorah. Probably been the best move probably for life. I mean, I was baptized as a kid and things were fine. I just made a different choice in life. Church after a while was not an important thing. Just kind of went off on the deep end of I don't know, trouble, everything going against God. Then didn't care. And then after moving up here about a year before I started going to the old Games XP, and then Tim's family just grows on you. Went well. Tim's all right at first. Wayne was the one that grows on you. But then getting Tim into bowling, you know, after all that, finally, I mean, getting him in the house. He reads too much Bible, so he's got to get out and enjoy life a little bit more. Then having Tim take me to Edge, that was probably the biggest life changer there. I know Jay was there, but I didn't associate with him so much. You know, I made some lifelong brothers there. I keep in touch with Trapper and Nathan and going up there, I never thought I'd see him cry. He's a strong, tough guy, but everybody's got to cry, and I didn't think I could ever cry with all the stuff that I was on. But they forced out a lot of demons, and I just want to thank Tim for being there. Even though he's older than I am, doesn't have any hair, and I'm catching him barely. But I know my parents aren't going to be around forever, and I think Tim would probably accept me and his family when they're gone. And I got Dan and Regina Kirkby. Brad's all right once in a while. I mean, he's can get a little underneath your skin, but that's life. You got people that just does that. Jay gets underneath the skin and then he never leaves. But I guess that's all I got to say for now.
I got my hair, and thanks to Valerie and Tim coming to court with me on the first day as support, it was Discovery Bank versus me, and I made $300 payment in money orders, and then the second hearing on August 31st, Discover Bank decided, along with the judge, it was in my favor to return $1,000 back into my account. And so, bless God there, and I thank him every day for that. And I bless God for I still having a job at Dollar Tree. And now God has blessed me with a 2015 Ford SUV, which I'll be getting on Wednesday. And the color is white. There will be no smoking in it. And where I can deliver meals from Fairway to recipients to their homes before work, and the 14th will be my long night at work because we'll be getting new LED lights put in, so the store will be brighter for customers. And as customers leave, I wish them thank you for shopping at Dollar Tree. Please come back and have a safe and wonderful Labor Day. And they always come back. And I give my hours to Bob and Patty, and Tim and Kristen Borseth, so they can wish, then they can give my hours to Valerie for Women's Tea Party.
You like our tea party?
Yes. Because when I work on those Monday nights, that's where I have to sleep in a little bit. And my past, when I had my son, we worshiped to 27 families at the UW Hospital and Clinics. And I met a customer lady who lost her dad about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. And she told me that each Sunday at the church, they're going to release a balloon for those 5 years that he's been gone, and because I believe he died during Labor Day, which I'm not for sure, so. And then I just mentioned that I lost my son due to a rare immune deficiency disorder, which is like having AIDS, but it's not. Where his own immune system was attacking his body. So we both kind of knew what grief was going through. So, and the store's bathrooms needed a major hall cleaning. So my back's a little overworked. So I'm hoping to get back in the Bible and more into helping out with the church family. Once, and more back with the church gatherings and small groups. Thank you. Thank you.
several cups of coffee already, so she was wired. Guys, this entire series has been marked by the phrase, our passionate, and fill in the blank, love for God, our passionate love for people, our love for the word, our love for the gospel, for reaching the world for Christ. Passion has been a part of the title because it was a part of our lives. That was a distinctive mark. And if you were to Google the word passion, you will find this definition: strong and barely controllable emotion is what it says. Strong and barely controllable, but you are able to control it. Well, for a while, we were not really that well controlled in our passion. And, you know, there was some pushback on that. But wow, did we learn and wow, did we grow, because passion was there to do what is right and honoring in the sight of God. And so we moved, and now here we are. You know, here we are. And so, but what's also interesting, guys, is not as just passion, an emotional, I'd say emotional response to a situation, to a truth, to a conviction. But when you go to the secondary definition for passion, you get this: the suffering and death of Jesus. Google it. It's right there. That's the second definition for passion: the suffering and death of Jesus. And that is the foundation for all of our passion. It comes from the example set forth for us in Jesus Christ and in his sending the Holy Spirit into our lives. That's the source of our passion. Let's pray for our offering, guys. If you've got anything that you want